Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Reading from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory, through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom it was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I am much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem, and it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I am come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. And now the God of peace be with you all.
Amen.
So far we read God's holy word. Let's give thanks for it, and let's pray that we may have understanding of it. As the Lord Jesus opened the understanding of the apostles on the evening of the resurrection, that they might understand the Scriptures, how we can give thanks for the Scriptures, God's perfect word, the word of truth. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for every blessing given. We come also in His name asking for that which is needed, both that which we know we need. We pray that Thou would give it to us because of Christ, and also what we may not know that we need, in repentance and obedience, that Thou would teach us these things because of Christ, and lead us to the fullness of truth, calling us to obedience, especially to have more of that faith which worketh by love, that we need so much in our time of lack of love, so much in our time of division and strife. Sadly, in the church the divisions are there, as well as the nation and the home, and we pray especially for our homes, that they might be reconciled with Thee and with each other. We pray that Thou would teach the church the seriousness of the broken homes, what it will do to the nation if it continues, what it will do to the next generation. We pray, Father, for the church to see its guilt in not agreeing with Thy word, but agreeing with the world, in allowing easy divorce and wrong remarriage and wrong marriages. We pray, Father, that the church might repent and then lead the homes of the nation to repentance. We pray especially that Thou would lead the children in the broken homes that are so troubled. Many are concerned and call it mental health and mental problems. We know it is a spiritual problem, and we pray that Thou would lead the children to Thy word, that they have a perfect light in their path. We pray for other needs that there are, that Thou would give healing to the sick, that Thou would give food for the hungry, Thou would give homes to the homeless, that Thou would give peace and comfort to those in the war-torn lands that are terribly suffering. We pray for those under the heel and the oppression of the Islamic terrorists that bring murder, kidnapping, that bring destruction of the homes, especially in Africa, and also the suffering in Afghanistan. We pray for others also and their needs. We give thanks for the blessings that we have in such abundance, food and raiment, and the blessings we have in nature. But now we pray for the blessings that we need spiritually so much that the church will be awakened and revived all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this again, Paul's letter here to these at Rome. Paul, who calls himself an apostle of the Gentiles. The first verse that we read is really a prayer. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God fill you with joy. There is joy in hearing and believing and obeying God's word. The Lord Jesus said, these things have I written, that your joy might be full. When we hear those words and obey them, we can have a fullness of joy. David had to pray and say, return unto me the joy of thy salvation, when he sinned. Sin takes away joy. Sin brings heaviness, sorrow, grief, regret. Also we read, peace and believing. The Lord Jesus also gave the words of peace. Before he died, in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Before he died, he left him with those words, peace I leave with you. Also on the day of resurrection, when he came to them, his words to them were, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he came the second time, 8 days later, again he gave those words, peace be unto you. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the author of peace. He is the one that can bring us to God in peace, as Paul said earlier in this letter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have that in essence when in justification, but we need it continually in sanctification. And that's what Paul was praying for here when he said, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. He is the God of hope. Earlier in Romans 8 we read, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We hope for what God will give, and the God of hope can fill us with joy and peace, and how we need it today. That's part of what we need in revival, in a right relationship with God, and a right relationship with others, that we might have joy together, that we might have peace together in this world of division, in this nation of division, in our homes of division, sadly, even more sadly, the church being divided so much as it has been already this year. Then this prayer is that it will be applied by the Spirit who can take all things of Christ and give them to us, and it will be because of Christ that we have joy and hope. He goes on to state, and I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. He believes this is true of them, that they're able to do it. And yet in spite of that, he says in the next verse, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Even though they were able to do this, he still said, I admonish you the more boldly, and putting you in mind. He believed that they were in a good place, full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able to admonish one another. He believed they could do what he had said to another church, the church at Rome, twice. He exhorted them to exhort one another. And here he said they were able to do that. But he needs to tell them that again. Robert Haldane wrote this about that statement. It is proper, then, that in the pastors of a church to bring forward the truths and duties with which the brethren are already acquainted, as well as those with respect to which they may be ignorant or deficient in knowledge, because of the grace that is given me of God. This was the ground of his boldness. He spake as an apostle, and in all things advanced by him, he was only the mouth of the Holy Ghost. So what he was saying here is from the Lord and by the inspiration of the Spirit. He is writing to them more boldly. And certainly, if that church needs that, when they are filled with knowledge and to admonish one another, when we are in time of doctrinal ignorance and a time of disobedience, very, very much in the nation, the church, and the home, then how much more we need to be put in mind to rightly admonish one another, to call each other back to God in repentance, and how we need it very much. We need to do it individually, ourselves, and we need to do it with one another. We need to do it according to the Word of God, and as He says further here, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He was called especially to be a minister to the Gentiles, which you and I are a part of, unless you are a Jew. For most of us, this is the message to us, the Gentile world. How long before the time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, we don't know. That God's grace will go back again to the Jewish people and to those that are there in the land now. Hopefully, if it does come back to them, it will also continue to come to us or increase even with their blessing. Paul, referring to his call when he was talking to Agrippa, stated how he was called to be a minister of the Gentiles. The Lord Jesus called him. Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said to him, "Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed them first at Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, and turn to God, and do works made for repentance." Here Paul is referring to his initial call. Along the way, he has reminded the church at Rome also that he was a minister of the Gentiles. The 11th chapter, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." And when we go back to what we read from Acts 26, we see how much is included to the Gentiles and to all of us, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is the Lord Jesus speaking. And what a blessing it is through the message of the gospel to be saved. What a message it is to have faith, as we read in Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what Paul was doing. He says, "I have written unto you the more boldly in some sort, God's holy word given me by God," referring that he should be a minister of the Gentiles. Then adding to why he is doing all of this, in verse 17, "I have therefore, whereof I may glory, through Jesus Christ, by those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." The word was the main thing. We can read over and over when he went to the Gentiles. He preached unto them the gospel. And he could say, "I have not sent to declare the whole counsel of God." And he summed it up also as repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The message we need today, very much, repentance, humbling, turning, be ready to receive Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Verse 18, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient in word and deed." through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. We can read again and again, there they preached the gospel, but also they did much healing, sometimes even raised the dead, as we can read in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, how their word was accompanied by wonderful works. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, God also bearing them witness both by signs and wonders with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. It was done by the apostles. I read of someone today who said that way was finished with the apostles, but we can still pray for blessings of healing and other miracles that God can give, and He can give it from heaven above through means or directly. I had a heart condition a number of years ago. They did not give me much hope in it. They said I could cripple through life or possibly have a heart transplant. But a few days or weeks later, I felt good. And when I told the doctor, he said somebody from above did something. He recognized it was the hand of God. Did not expect it as a doctor, naturally. And God still does heal and give us those blessings, and we may pray for them. James tells us that we are to pray for the sick and how we need to do it. But going back here, he says, I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient. Paul was not the only one, as we had mentioned last week. First of all, Philip, one of the Samaritans. Peter went to Cornelius, the Gentiles. He was first reproved for it, but then it was recognized that God had to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Here he says, not wrought by me. Though there were signs and wonders, Peter also raised the dead, and all of it by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul could say, with the others, I have preached the gospel of Christ. I have preached the gospel of Christ. What is that? Sometimes we take the word gospel and say it's good news. And what good news it is. The gospel of Christ. As he describes it when he writes to the Corinthians, the gospel is Christ dying for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ being buried, Christ rising again according to the Scriptures. First of all, the gospel was already preached to Abraham. We have it in the words that are recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And Paul refers to that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, to Abraham was the gospel preached. So it was there. We may believe that Abel heard it and believed it, rather than Cain, and by faith offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, seeing in the little lamb the type and shadow of Christ. The gospel was there. Isaiah preaches it very plainly, much in detail, when God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the gospel was preached by Paul and others, first of all to the Jews, but later also to the Gentiles, and especially when the Jews began more openly to refuse the gospel. Paul says, lo, we go to the Gentiles. But here we read in verse 21, but as it is written, to whom it was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Referring to what Isaiah stated, those same words in the 52nd chapter, the 15th verse. To whom it was not spoken of, they shall see. They weren't spoken to for, but later the Gentiles did see and were added to the church. Many were saved as Paul went from one Gentile city to another and established his churches. He did not establish the church at Rome, evidently, but he did want to visit them, as we see a little later. For which cause it also I have been much hindered from coming to you. We don't know how much he planned earlier to go to the church at Rome, but evidently he was hindered. And now he had plans for that. He would go to Spain and then go to Rome at the same time. But his plans never materialized in that way. As we saw to the latter part of the chapter, he went to Jerusalem, and he was taken captive there. Then the Jews wanted to kill him. He was rescued by the Romans. When the Roman governor asked if he wanted to go back to Jerusalem to be tried, he says, "I appeal to Caesar." It was in that way, in bonds, that he would come and visit the church at Rome. We can read of that later in the last chapter of this letter to the church at Rome, what happened in his coming there. So he says, "I have been hindered from coming to you, and now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you." And though the church was established, he wanted to come to them, as he would say a little later, have some fruit among them, teaching them. He would do with them what he exhorted the church itself to do. "I have written you more boldly, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given you, and also that they were to admonish one another." Very likely, he thought he would come and visit them and do more of that amongst them. Verse 24, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." They expected to go to Rome. Some of them would go with him to bring him on further to Spain. But he says, "Now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." I just referred a little bit to that, what would happen when he was there. But he went there with a particular purpose, described in verse 26, "For it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are Jerusalem." They were very likely at Nain. They had been cast out of Jerusalem, and they had to find a place to live, and probably didn't have homes, probably didn't have ways of supporting themselves. The Gentiles here were going to give to meet the natural needs of the Jews. We'll leave our study here and join with Paul when he says, "When I perform this, I will come to you in Spain." Later he said, verse 30, "I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." That's what we need to do today for those who are laboring and for each other, that we strive together in prayer. That's as much needed as anything else today. We need the Word of God. We need repentance. But we need to strive together in prayer that there will be more laborers, and then God will bless those that are laborers, all through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.